Watching and whenever you're listening. My name is Tanura and welcome back to another episode of the Students Era podcast. Today's episode, we're going to take a dive into a completely unexpected scenario. Now, when most students join university, they try to get a part-time job or an internship, try to make some quick cash on the side, and of course, to earn experience. It's not common, however, to find out that you're going to be interning for a fellow classmate, which may have been the case for some people with my guest. I'm currently joined by a very good friend of mine who runs her own business here in the UAE, Zara. Welcome on the podcast.
Glad to be here.
So first things first, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing great, actually. It's been quite a busy day, but I like being productive, so there's that.
I'm pretty sure waking up at 8 a.m. and the first three Starbucks coffees has started to kick in now, hasn't it?
Oh, I haven't had coffee yet. I'm maxing myself out.
All right, well then, this is going to be a very interesting talk. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and the company that you run here?
Sure. So I am a 21-year-old Bengali. So I do like to represent the Bengali community whenever I can because we're very heavily underestimated, to say the least.
No comment.
Yeah, so I am a law student, a full-time law student at Middlesex University. I'm doing a LLB honors degree and I'm moving into my third year next year. Hopefully working in commercial and corporate businesses after year three. And at the same time, I'm managing my business, the Socialite Marketing Agency, which might be confusing for a few people who might go like, why are you doing marketing if you're a law student?
Yeah, that was the first question I had for you when I found out that out of nowhere, you casually brought up, oh yeah, I run a marketing firm. What? All right. Okay, so let's head straight into it. First things first is obviously the company, the Socialite Marketing Agency. What brought the drive in you to just start a marketing agency while you're clearly showing interest to the law stream as well?
So law has always been a big part of me. I've always been a big debater, very into studying, writing, understanding how the world works. And I think that's what the legal system is. You kind of learn what governs us all around. But the creative side of me has always lived on. And that's one part of me I didn't want to die. So when it was around 2018, 2019, I took up a bunch of courses and I was like, you know what? Maybe this will help me someday. So I took up a few courses, I started interning, and at that point it was just for fun because I was still in high school. And I just wanted to see if this is a field which I could potentially be interested in. And I started off as an account manager, moved on to client relationship manager, then moved on to sales, then moved on to basically every aspect of marketing you can think about. I have been there.
So quite a very, you know, when most people say they wanted to try something, they usually tried by, let's say, playing maybe a simulation video game or interning, not going from an intern to a full-time employee.
Hey, I mean, I have done my fair share of simulation games, right, but those were more Wired.com, so it had nothing related to my career.
Fair enough.
But when it came to doing career-based, I've always been very driven. I've always set ages for things I want to achieve. So my first aim was by the age of 18, I learned two skills I haven't known before, which is why I did two courses. My next aim was to start a company at the age of 21, which for the longest time I thought would be a clothing company, which is something in the works. However,
okay, I see you.
A little hint. But then I started the Socialite, and I wouldn't say it's called the Socialite Agency because my ambition with it is far higher than a marketing company, which is why whenever I introduce it, I just call it the Socialite. And our entire thing started with me wanting to help out more small businesses, because when COVID hit, my dad lost his job, and that affected all of us greatly. And I wanted to help out with the family as much as I could, which is why I started doing more jobs and trying to reach higher in my career and see what I can do. And as I did that, I gained enough skills to start my own company, I guess. So with Socialite, I wanted to start with a marketing agency, move it to modeling, move it to podcast, move it to an editorial. So then it works as an... Have you watched The Intern?
Who hasn't?
Exactly. That's my thing.
That's the story of your life.
That's the story of my life. Yeah, like there. But except I don't want it to be only a fashion house, more of a one-stop place for every business.
That's a very, like, you know, inspiring storyline to where it comes. Not the part of it being the intern, because that show itself, for those who haven't watched The Intern, has a few of its own characteristics I'd like to frame. But no, like, it is very inspiring. You know, a lot of students, a lot of youngsters especially, they dream of having the chance to do something from the get-go, but then there's always some form of limitation. Mm-hmm. You decide to take a limitation and turn it into your advantage. Like you said, you started your company during COVID, if I'm not mistaken, like you said?
No, I started before? My company very recently. Like, Socialize, my baby. She's very small at this point in time. She started in September of 2022.
Whoa, so like what, 6 or 7 months ago?
Yeah, 6 or 7 months ago, but it's been a great journey. I've worked with around, I think, 13 clients so far. So I guess it's doing pretty well.
Nah, let's be realistic. UAE is probably one of the most vast job markets in the world. Some of the biggest companies work here. Trying to be a small up-and-coming company in the UAE is no easy task. So, and added the fact that you are a full-time student. So I'm pretty sure 13 clients is a very good step in the direction. But I want to come to, obviously, the student life. You are still a student.
Yeah, of course.
So I need to ask, how do you manage between running a successful firm while also being dedicated to the academics? Like, how do you find the balance?
The people in the podcast can see, but I'm pretty sure you can see the eye bags under my eyes, so that would be the most direct answer.
Zara, I've been seeing them for a while now.
Exactly.
They could be for any reason.
They're never going away.
Fair enough.
But I kind of have a very set schedule to kind of keep my life at an all-around balance, give a lot of time towards family, friends, gym, company, and studies, because I have a very strong work ethic. I like to keep everything like at its max potential as much as I can and make sure everything runs well, because when it comes to my degree, I know my parents are investing a lot in it. I know I want to be a lawyer, so that's not something I ever step back from. Like, below a merit or a distinction isn't something I can't settle for. But at the same time, having my own company, there are so many people that are trusting me with their businesses. I will never let them down. So I try to max out whatever I can to do for them as well.
That's very, you know, that's a very positive outlook on possibly what is a very stressful environment. And I want to talk about, and this is a topic I've always ended up bringing up on this episode, on this podcast, regardless of who's the guest, and it is the topic of stress. Mm-hmm. Because it is not avoidable. Let's be realistic. Everyone goes online, like if you watch any TV show, any film about anyone that's ever gone to university or it's in a university aspect, the one thing everyone brings up is stress. Mm-hmm. It is a constant life. And nowadays with how everything goes, some people also say that, oh, I want to experience university level stress. And to anyone that ever tells me this, I tell them, you don't. There is not in any way. So, you know, for some people it's a few things, but for you it's a different situation. So how do you cope with the stress, possibly the anxiety, and even the mental health with all of the tasks that come back to you? Because it seems like you're carrying a lot on your shoulders as it is.
I mean, yeah, there is, of course, a lot of stress, because on one side, you have to manage your degree. I model as well. So there's kind of taking out time to do freelance modeling gigs and stuff, and then there is also managing my business at the same time. So there is a lot of stress that accompanies all of that. But I think the main part in all of, like, the motivator is that whatever I'm doing, I'm passionate about. So it pushes me. And on the days where I do feel like I need a break, I take the break.
You take the break.
Because as strong as my work ethic is, I don't think for anyone it's ever worth compromising your mental health and your mental well-being. Because if you push yourself to the point of burnout, you're never going to get an efficient and a good project done by the end of it. So I don't push myself to that limit. If I feel like I'm too stressed, I have 6 pets. So I go and I spend time with my pets. They're all rescues.
Oh,
so they're all
okay.
Very clingy by nature.
Fair enough. Which pets, by the way? What animals?
I have 4 cats and 2 dogs.
I mean, okay, before, I'm sorry, I gotta deviate a bit. Do they not fight? Like,
oh no, they're all friends. The dogs nap with the cats hit the dogs come to us crying. It's a life cycle. But it works.
It works. It definitely works.
They all love each other.
No, because I'm just thinking to a lot of my other classmates and my friends, when they say they put their dog in the room with a cat or vice versa, it usually doesn't end well.
No, I think it's just a matter of how you introduce them to each other. If you introduce them in a friendly manner and you give both of them equal attention, they'll end up being okay with it.
That's one way to frame it, because that's another thing I wanted to also touch up upon, introduction. Now, I like at the start, you brought up, obviously, your culture, heritage, you being Bengali, you running a company here, being a law student. In a way, you do have a slight identity crisis as well. And let's be realistic, being a student that lives in the UAE, works in the UAE, possibly brought up in the UAE as well, there is a lot of different, you know, ways that you can blend with different people, but at the same time, there's ways that you can be different from a lot of people. So, and I sometimes like to assume that, like, when people start a project, whether it's a company, whether it's an organization, or whether it's anything in that matter, they try to mix it in a way that is open to, you know, anything and everything. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask, being a student that has lived in the UAE, that has possibly gone through the entire culture mash, how have you tried to present not only yourself, but everything you do as an open-faced, you know, product?
Could you rephrase that?
All right, yeah, I know it's a bit long. Yeah. How do you try to present yourself and your company, or even any project you work on, as something that's not limited to one, but it's open to all?
So the entire prospect with Socialite is, because after COVID, my dad opened up his own auto maintenance shop, and my mom started catering. So both of them have been so steadfast in whatever they've done. They've always had a positive influence on me because I see how hard they work. But at the same time, I understand that my mom, for example, is a small business.
Okay.
So with Socialite, how I like to present it is that I don't think Socialite is very commercially driven, to be very honest. It's more of a community. It's a collection of collectives, is how I like to put it. No, sorry, a collection of creatives
okay.
is how I like to put it.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, a collection of creatives. And what I always propose to businesses is that my entire team is Gen Zs. So we've grown up at the peak of social media.
Now, before you continue, I do have to warn you, being Gen Z and social media can get a little bit weird.
Here since it started, we're the reason for its peak.
All right.
So we understand how it works, and that's why I offer kind of a range of budgets whenever it comes to my clients, especially when it comes to any SME. I'm very accommodating in that sense. If I see that they have such a strong vision, but they don't have the budget to accommodate that, I make up a custom package which kind of delivers what a high package would. But it would suit them. So if they go like, oh, I want to be like Chanel, but their budget is 3,000, 4,000.
You try and work a way around it.
I work my way around it. Even if it reduces my profit, I try to deliver what I can and gain their trust in this business. Because I think what a lot of people have is bad experiences with a lot of marketing agencies.
Oh, totally. Totally.
So being community forward has always been a very strong aspect of mine, which is why we even did a campaign with a lot of breast cancer survivors in Pinktober.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of a well-rounded, all-inclusive kind of company when it comes to anything.
I like how you brought up the whole idea of community aspect, right? Because I want to return back to the topic of being a student.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, when most people join university, their whole concept of the university is, obviously there's the academic point, but it's also the social point, the community point. And if you look at universities in any country, especially in the UAE, they've got a club or a society for everything. You want a club and society for K-pop? You got it. You want a club and society for environment? You got it. You want a club and society for, I don't know, Google searches or something, they'll probably have it. And obviously, from seeing how your schedule is and how you have dedicated yourself to your work, that aspect of community towards university does sound like it's a bit pulled back. But obviously, I might be wrong. So what I want to ask you from is, how have you tried to also balance, you know, the work life, but also the university life? And I'm not talking just academics. I'm talking, you know, everything else combined in it.
Yeah, so like I said, I feel like while my work ethic is very strong, I like to keep a well-rounded balance of everything, even if it comes to friends. And I think that kind of comes under friends, social clubs. Mm-hmm. So I am in two social clubs. I'm in the MUN Society, and I'm also in the Mooting Society in my university, because these two I resonate with very strongly. And I have participated in MUN competitions.
Yeah, unfortunately, I know that. Unfortunately, I know that.
And I think I did a pretty good job in them too.
I can't answer that question due to my own credibility. I'm kidding. You did great, of course.
Yeah, so I think the fact that I accomplished, like, I got awards in both of them, and that means I also give time to whenever it comes to social clubs at university. And there's, my university is hosting another MUN very soon, so I will be kind of leading on that as well, though I'm not going to declare everything very evidentially. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean when I say I can take out the time if I need to. If it's something I'm passionate about, I'll always have time for it.
All right. Well, it seems like you are taking up projects not only by yourself, but also for your university now, which is kind of amazing in itself. But again, being in university life, right, working with a project in university, balancing that, there is still obviously the sign of whether or not a person has lived up their university life to the fullest. Mm-hmm. Now, for many people, that can mean different things. But in my personal opinion, a lot of people assume the university life is, you know, being part of clubs, being part of a sports team, going out for parties, chilling with all the university friends. But then some other people might think, that's not what I want my university life to be. I want to be a bit more academic, or I want to be more dedicated to one thing. But you know, peer pressure, this generation and peer pressure kind of goes hand in hand, like chocolate chips and ice cream. So in my opinion, do you think that the idea of a university experience is down to one specific thing, or can it be decided by what makes a person, you know, open, or what makes a person interested that decides what the university life should be?
I think the definition of university life differs from one person to the other, because it's completely up to personality. If you're someone who's more social, you would prefer parties, you would prefer going out with your friends. But if you're someone who's kind of more introverted, perhaps, you might prefer doing more academic related stuff, staying at home, maybe going out with friends only while you're in campus, right? But if you're a mix of both, an amniwort, I think that's the time when you kind of explore out, you're doing internships, you're doing jobs, but you're also going to parties and you're, you know.
Kind of sounds like you.
I am an amniwort. I think what adds on is that I think my ADHD and the amniwort.
Ah, of course.
And it kind of works out at the very end of it. So what the university life is, I won't define it, because I don't think there's a concrete definition of it at all.
All right. But in your opinion, your university life, how do you think it went, even with 1 year left?
I think it went great. I've made some great friends, and I do adore them to bits. I think of them as family. But at the same time, I kind of met the love of my life in uni, so that works out great. And at the same time, I've been managing work and just understanding how the profession I'm heading towards, works. Everything, I think, balances out, because not only am I gaining work experience as the years go by, but I'm also having the social aspect of everything. So I'd say it went pretty great. In my definition, this is what university life is.
Perfect.
Being from the age of 20 to 22, 23, you're meant to max out your potential. That's my definition. It's your years of working. It's when you're able-bodied. So work from the age of 25 to 26, you know what you want, you know what to get, and you might have things settled. So from the age of 20 to 23, you figure everything out.
That's like the that's basically the trial plan.
Yeah.
That's the trial plan.
When I said I live in trial mode, that's what I meant.
Yeah, fair play, fair enough. But I like how you talked about, you know, the universe of even making good, long-lasting friends, find love of your life. Congratulations, by the way, if that is the case. And I was, sorry, I have to congratulate you on that. Not many people find their love of their life on the get-go. But no, so the reason I want to ask that is to bring up probably one of the more, what do you call it? Not concerning, but rather very difficult aspects of university life. Whether you're a student or whether you're an intern or by the 1% of students running your own business, is the friends, the connections. Now, obviously, in the world we live in, on top of having a very stacked resume, probably the other thing that needs to be there is the connections, the people you meet with. And the connections could range from anything, whether you know the regional sales manager of a company to possibly your best friend that you just want to start an event with. Mm-hmm. And obviously, coming to university, you meet a lot of different people. These people can come from abroad, their definitions of certain things can be different. But of course, sometimes the general idea of what's good and what's bad can be different. And for you, or for anyone that starts uni for the first time, it can be obviously a bit of a struggle to find out where you fit in. I mean, not many people can just go to a club and just gel instantly. Some people, they just like to go out and mingle. So from your experience with how you've made connections in the professional world, but also in the your more social life with your friends and family, how would you say your experience has been in trying to find or trying to figure out who would be a good person to you, but also who's going to be someone that will help further you in life and in a career aspect?
I think when it comes to friendships, I don't really think of them as a transaction process of any sort. I think friends should be where they are and your networking should be where they are. I try to keep it as separate as possible.
Professional and social separate.
Yeah, because I think when you mesh the two, it could get pretty murky. So the people I've become friends with, obviously, like at the age group we're in, we might find friends, but also we might stop being friends with them 2 months from then.
Gen Z.
Yeah. So it's a hit or miss, but I'm glad that the friends I have right now, I can see them sticking with me for a very long time. And as for networking, I am in like two networking kind of groups. So okay. I go to their events, figure out people. That's where I do professional build up. But when it comes to my friends, if they have any skill which I think they could use, I ask them, hey, do you want to do this for my company? And I let them know. So I keep things separate, but at the same time, if they do want any kind of work or passive income of sorts, I do offer them that. But other than that, I keep it completely separate.
Yeah, I can see your outlook on that. Sometimes when you mix professional with social, like you said, very murky, lines can sometimes be forgotten. But it's a very positive outlook still, because, you know, a lot of people, from in my opinion, whenever they try to they actually do try to merge the two a lot, mm-hmm. if you think about it. And then when that happens, well, we don't talk about that, do we?
Exactly.
All right. Well, looking at the time, I think that's about all the time we have. But before we close, I do have one final question I want to ask you. Actually, two final questions. The first one, pretty simple. Straight up, first three things that pop to your head when you hear, when if someone ever asked you, like probably a 16, 17 year old that comes to you and be like, I want to start a business by the time I'm 21, what's the first three things you're going to tell them?
What are you passionate about? Where do you see yourself being? And what is an industry which you think you'll like working in?
All right, and the second question being is, and this is kind of like the fun thing I like to do, are you a fan of movies?
Yeah, big time.
Are you a fan of football?
In between. I watch FIFA.
For anyone wondering, I am just looking at my my boss before I ask this question. Do you follow this is no relation to movies. Do you follow the Champions League by any chance?
The Champions, I mean, I do because of my boyfriend. I know that Man United, Real Madrid and Man United had a game recently.
Not Man United. I'm being hurt by that because I'm a Man United fan. No, it's Man City. All right. All right. I'll avoid the football question then. I can see the people behind the mics are like exhaling, like, this is no need to hear the answer to this. All right, no. So You're a movie fan? Mm-hmm. Marvel, DC, do you watch that stuff? Marvel. Did you see Volume 3 recently?
I am going to today.
Oh, okay, okay. All right, so just heads up to post-credit scenes and for anyone listening as well. And in your opinion, in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, what's the one thing that you hope, that you think will happen, but hope doesn't happen? I need to find this out.
Honestly, I'm not very big into the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise as much as I am into, like, Black Panther.
Fair enough.
But
if you had to just think, like, what's one thing you just don't want happening in that film?
I don't want Gamora to be alive. I know that.
But you want Gamora to be dead?
Yeah.
Wow, harsh. Just
no,
hurting.
Listen, I think the circle of life for her has happened. In Avengers, like Endgame and all of that, whoever passed away, people felt a strong emotion to that character leaving.
But then they brought her back in Endgame. Like, if
yeah,
you think
okay,
about it.
Just keep her dead.
Well, you heard it first, guys. Well, you'll find out that answer when you go and watch today. And to anyone listening that has seen the film, you guys can just put on the comments that too bad or what else happens. Anyways, but yeah, so that is all the time we have for today's episode. Thank you once again, Zara, for coming in. I think after this, you probably have to go back to another round of interviews.
I hope so, and I hope I don't get like Marvel haters and football haters.
Don't worry. The football, not much. The Marvel, maybe. Gamora stans will go after you.
No, maybe.
But I hope you enjoyed. Please make sure to leave a comment on the episode if you guys want to tell Zara what you guys think. Go and check out her Instagram on our post on Instagram at Students Era. We will definitely be mentioning the business as well. But with that being said, I hope you guys enjoyed, and we'll see you next time for another episode of the Students Era podcast. Thank you.